How do we know that this Bible is the Word of God? We mentioned this morning there are external evidences and internal evidences. I'd like for us to explore an internal evidence tonight. And I'm just hoping I'm not going to tell you more than you wanted to know. I've got too many notes, and I've already warned Mike, who's handling the PowerPoint. I can't hit all of them. But if you will, open your Bibles to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. I'm going to take you back a few years, around 2,400 years, to a prophecy made concerning Tyre through the prophet Ezekiel. And I hope to share with you some things, some historical background that I think we'll see just ties in beautifully with this prophecy that Ezekiel makes. Again, as confirmation that such prophecies show us over and over again that the Bible is the Word of God. The date of this prophecy is around 586 B.C. It's in the 11th year, so verse 1 tells us, of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The city of Tyre, let me tell you a little bit about that city. Phoenician city, as you see on this map, it bordered the Mediterranean Sea. Had a very good port. It was a very prosperous trading city. It was one of the wealthiest trading cities in history. You may remember that King David and King Solomon both had interaction with Tyre, its king, and because of some things that were going on in Tyre. For example, King David, or Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, so says 2 Samuel 5, verse 11, and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and so they built David a house, a palace, if you will. But so many of these things came from the region around Tyre, and they were known for these items and for their unique abilities. Solomon drew upon Tyre's materials and skilled workmen for the construction of Solomon's temple. In addition, the people of Tyre were known for their remarkable ability to navigate the seas. And King Solomon hired some of these. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent ships and servants who knew the sea to work with Solomon's men in acquiring gold from foreign lands. That was several hundred years before this prophecy. But it gives you an idea of some about the city. And it had a beneficial geographical arrangement that ties in to this prophecy. It's a very important feature. You notice on this old map how that there's an island just about half a mile off the coast of Phoenicia here. This island was also inhabited. In fact, the city of Tyre may have begun on this island. But this ties in beautifully with what's going on in Ezekiel's day, because the people of Tyre had built a wall around this island and they believed it was impregnable. It couldn't be overcome by enemies. And there's a couple of things that lent itself to how difficult it would be for an army to overtake this island. The force of the water and the wind that prevailed on the side of the city closest to land was said to have produced a corrosive force of waves, so strong, powerful waves would prevent ships from approaching this island from the mainland. Furthermore, the water nearest to the walls of the city were especially deep, and you consider the force of the waves, and you would see how ships would have difficulty with any apparatus that was designed to lay siege to a city, such as this island city of Tyre. But Tyre was well established, renowned for its building, its manufacturing, and trade. Ezekiel said of Tyre, "Your builders have perfected your beauty." And he proceeded to list several of the materials used by this people. And the prophet stated, when your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. We've already noted how kings David and Solomon were some of those. So we have here a prosperous trade city with a wonderful port, with a place where the people found refuge and felt like no one could overtake them. But Tyre's profitable trading had done little positive for its spiritual condition, because they felt invincible to other armies. No doubt they didn't feel like they needed God. And they made fun of God's people. Notice with me Ezekiel 26, verses 2 and 3. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel says, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha! She is broken, who is the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled, and she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. What had happened to Jerusalem and Judah at this point is, according to prophecy, many of the Jews have been carried off into Babylonian captivity. And what do the people of Tyre do? They see this as an opportunity to line their own pockets some more. Jerusalem has been laid waste, if you will, and the people of Tyre are saying, okay, there's more money for us. But God says, because of the way they had viewed his people, I am against you, O Tyre. Can you imagine being a citizen of Tyre and knowing that the God of the universe is against you? He says, I will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. Remember that. Among Tyre's list of despicable activities, there was a slave trade in which they were involved. And the prophet Joel tells us that Tyre had taken people from Judah and Jerusalem and sold them to the Greeks so as to get them far away from their borders. And it was things such as these that would cause God to say, I'm about to punish you, I'm against you, and you're about to endure my wrath. But let's read in Ezekiel 26 about the punishment that is prophesied against the city of Tyre. We'll begin with verse 1. It came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots when he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls, destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Verse 19. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited. And I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. Now, that's a lot of material. But let me isolate six specific predictions, and we'll note how they are fulfilled. Number one, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon would destroy the city. Number two, many nations would come up against Tyre. Number three, the city would be leveled and scraped clean like a bare rock. Number four, the city's stones, timber, and soil would be cast into the sea. Number five, the area would become a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. And number six, the city never would be rebuilt. Now, strap on your seatbelts and watch how these are fulfilled. In chronological order, the siege of Nebuchadnezzar took place within a few months of Ezekiel's prophecy. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon would destroy the city, Ezekiel prophesied, in 586 BC. And again, just a few months later, Nebuchadnezzar with his great army came and laid besiege Tyre. And historical records, the records of the Phoenicians, state that Nebuchadnezzar besieged Tyre for 13 years in the days of Ithobal, their king. The length of the siege was due in part, no doubt, to the unusual arrangement. You remember off the mainland, there was this small rocky island about half a mile off the coast, around which the people of Tyre had built a wall and felt that they were invincible. And apparently Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the city of Tyre that had been built on the mainland and had overcome it. But many of the people had gone out to the safety of this island. And history indicates that Nebuchadnezzar did not able to overtake this island city. But yet the city that was on the mainland, he indeed overtook. And so several of these prophecies that were spoken by Ezekiel came true with Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Tyre. Number two, Ezekiel began his prophecy by stating that many nations would come against Tyre. Babylon would be one, but there would be many nations that would come against Tyre. And in this prophecy, it is spoken about not only what Nebuchadnezzar would do, but there's a pronoun change to they. And it talks about what they would do. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. Verse 12. Perhaps this is reference to the many nations that would come even after Babylon and would make war against Tyre. You see, Ezekiel was well aware of Nebuchadnezzar's failure to totally destroy the city, both the mainland and the island city. In fact, in chapter 29 and verse 18, we find these words: "Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against Tyre. Every head was made bald, every shoulder rubbed raw. Yet neither he nor his army received wages from Tyre for the labor which they expended on it." And again, perhaps this is a reference to how Nebuchadnezzar did not completely overtake the city, particularly the island city of Tyre. What about these many nations? What other nations would come against Tyre? We turn to history and we find Egypt in 392 came and the king of Egypt took Tyre by assault. 60 years later in 332, Alexander the Great from Greece and his army besieged Tyre and crushed it. And we'll come back to that in a moment. After this, Ptolemy of Egypt conquered Tyre until about 315, when a ruler in Syria besieged Tyre for 15 months and captured it. So Babylon, Syria, Egypt, Rome, Greece, Persia, many nations would come and lay siege against Tyre. Not only Nebuchadnezzar, but even nations after him. Do you see how Ezekiel's prophecy is being fulfilled? But yet after Nebuchadnezzar left, some of these prophecies were still not fulfilled. Let me remind you of Numbers 3 and 4. The city would be leveled and scraped clean like a bare rock. And number 4, the city's stones, timber, and soil would be cast into the sea. Those are pretty direct statements there. How would they be fulfilled? This brings us to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great apparently wished to make a personal sacrifice in the temple of Heracles on this island city of Tyre. Heracles sounds a little bit like Hercules, doesn't it? And Hercules was the way the Romans referred to him. So here's Alexander the Great, who's already started his march across all this land and is overtaking nation after nation after nation. And here he comes, essentially knocking at Tyre's door. "I want to make a sacrifice in the temple of Heracles." The people of Tyre in this island city feel so secure that they turn down his request. Uh-oh. Alexander the Great, you've turned him down. That couldn't make him happy. And it didn't. In 332 BC, which is 254 years after Ezekiel's prophecy, say again, 254 years after Ezekiel's prophecy, Alexander the Great determines he's going to teach these people a lesson. But here they are on this island fortress with high walls, with these waters that ships find difficulty in navigating. How can he reach that city? He demolished what was called Old Tyre, one historian says. That is the city that was on the mainland. He demolished it and set many tens of thousands of men to work carrying stones to construct a mole. Now, what's a mole? Apparently, that's an old word for a causeway, a land bridge. Essentially, he scrapes Old Tyre clean. He levels it and carries all the rocks and the dirt, the debris, the timber, and starts putting it into that water that separates the mainland from this island, building a land bridge as he goes along. Doesn't that sound like a direct fulfillment of what Ezekiel had prophesied over 250 years prior? The people of Tyre will not give up easily. We noted that they were known for their navigational expertise. And so they sent their ships out into these waters and wreaked havoc on Alexander the Great's men as they were building this land bridge, and many of his men were killed. But Alexander the Great summoned his navy and came and established supremacy over the navy of Tyre. And then, as Alexander, history tells us, was building this land bridge, a storm arose and damaged a large section of this mole, of this causeway. But Alexander the Great would not be deterred. He rebuilt that part. The people of Tyre then sent underwater divers to try to impede the construction by attaching hooks to the rocks and timbers of the causeway and caused much damage. But Alexander the Great and his army kept building until finally that land bridge was a bridge from the mainland to this island city. And Alexander the Great and his army entered the city and devastated it. 2,000 of the men in Tyre who were of military age were crucified. 13,000 non-combatants were sold into slavery. But what do we have but simply the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy? They will take your stones and your timbers and will cast them into the midst of the sea. You see, the secular historical record detailing Alexander's destruction of Tyre coincides precisely with Ezekiel's prophecy. That leaves us two more specific points, predictions. Number five, the area would become a place for the spreading of nets, and the city would never be rebuilt. There's a city that stands in that location now, modern day Tyre. It's called Sur, S-U-R, Lebanon. I even Googled it and saw it on a map, and I'm going to show you a picture in just a moment. How then can it be said that the city would never be rebuilt? How can it be said that the area would become a place for the spreading of nets? First of all, it could be the case that the bulk of Ezekiel's prophecy dealt with the mainland city of Tyre, that portion of the city that was built on the mainland. And this solution has merits for several reasons. Years later, in fact, in A.D. 1170, there was a Jewish traveler named Benjamin of Tudela from Spain who made travels and kept a diary of the places where he visited. He visited Greece, Syria, Palestine, Mesopotamia, and Persia. He visited Tyre. And in his journal, he writes some things that he saw in Tyre that I felt were very, very interesting. Let me read to you part of it, and then I'm going to share with you a quote that has reference to Ezekiel's prophecy. "It is a half day to New Tyre, to Sur, which is a very fine city with a harbor in its midst. There is no harbor like this in the whole world. Tyre is a beautiful city. In the vicinity is found sugar of a high class, for men plant it here, and people come from all lands to buy it." Now notice this. "A man can ascend the walls of New Tyre and see ancient Tyre, which the sea has now covered, lying at a stone's throw from the new city. And should one care to go forth by boat, one can see the castles, marketplaces, streets, and palaces in the bed of the sea." From this 12th century text, we learn that by the period of time, the city known as Ancient Tyre lay completely buried underneath the sea. A new city, most likely on some part of the island, had been erected. Perhaps this is in fulfillment of this prophecy. They shall spread their nets as in the midst of the sea. George Davis, in his book Fulfilled Prophecies That Prove the Bible, included a picture of a Syrian fisherman under which the following caption appeared: Syrian fishermen hauling in their nets on the probable site of ancient Tyre, which perished as predicted by the prophet. Another authority who's done a lot of work in this area states this about the position of Old Tyre. He wrote, "Later this town was dismantled by Alexander the Great in his famous siege of Tyre and disappeared totally with the change of the coastline, brought about by the causeway and the alluvial deposits that changed Tyre into a peninsula." So it seems that it's likely the case that the specific site of ancient Tyre has been buried by sand and water over the course of the last 2,400 years plus. And that original city has never been rebuilt. Benjamin of Tudela's quote corresponds precisely with something Ezekiel foretold about Tyre. Ezekiel 26, verse 19, "For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit." This is just an overview of some of the wonderful things that history provides that shows us that these prophecies made by Ezekiel, how God looked down through hundreds of years and made these prophecies about this city of Tyre, which came true. It couldn't have been by accident. They are of such a nature, Alexander the Great building this causeway, that was something that had never been done before. But yet it fits Ezekiel's prophecy so beautifully. Let me show you a picture, satellite image of Sur, Lebanon, modern day Tyre. You'll see that peninsula now that history and the Bible tells us hasn't always been there. But after Alexander the Great built that causeway, through the years, sand, gravel, everything that the waves had brought in have caused it now to be a peninsula instead of an island half a mile from the mainland. But I believe it stands as testimony to the truth of God's word and to how prophecy shows that God is omniscient, that he knows, and that what he says will happen. Jeremiah 28 verse 9 says, "When the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." This is one of hundreds of prophecies that history only corroborates and shows how they were fulfilled. But I found this one to be fascinating in its detail and how these words were proven to be fulfilled. But we only share this to add yet another piece of insurmountable evidence to the fact that all Scripture is inspired of God. What can we take home with us from this lesson? From this lesson in history? Perhaps this one. God means what he says. And what God says will happen will indeed happen. That refers to the punishment. That also refers to the reward that he has for the faithful child of God. What he has promised, he is able to perform. Are you standing upon the promises of God tonight? Have you accepted the gospel message? Are you ready now to become a Christian, to become a child of God, and stand upon the promises that he has made? We've seen what he says he will do. If you'll surrender your life to him this evening, you can become his child and look forward to an eternal home with him. If you need the prayers of the church to help you get back on track, we hope and pray that you'll let that be known. Won't you come? right now as we stand and sing.